Welcome back to the Inspired Incompetence Podcast. Any resemblance to actual undead is entirely coincidental. How's everybody doing?
Yep.
I feel undead.
It's just coincidence. So, finally made it out of Kyrodera. Good job, everybody.
Whee!
And you began your trek across this wasteland, acting as this like mile-wide radius between Hammerrock and Kyrodera, which it seems are reflections of the outer ring of positive energy and the inner core of negative energy that is the Radiant Fire. You got about halfway up this wasteland, and you got hit with a haunt. So, yeah, this haunt seems like it might be like the final moments of the lives of those at Hammerrock before the Radiant Fire went off. And then you're seeing, an echo, some sort of spiritual, emotional reverberation left by those sudden and violent deaths. And you're almost like reliving the Radiant Fire. Valbar, you much more literally than the others who was actually there at Hammerrock and was killed by this blast of Radiant Fire that is now coming at you again.
That sucks.
So, yeah, the end of last session, I asked everybody to give me a will save. This is a mind-affecting fear effect.
I'm going to use my lucky horseshoe to add a +4 to this.
I will also use my lucky horseshoe.
Everybody keeping track of their clovers and horseshoes?
I am.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been marking them off.
I feel like there've been a lot of lucky shit going on.
Well, we got two of them. We got the clover and the horseshoe.
I got two of both.
I know, that's why I listed them separately.
The reason why I used the horseshoe, in fact, is because I looked and I was out of clover uses.
Oh, well, all right then. Tom, did you say Archinus has two of each?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he took them off of Teoblith.
Oh, right. he's got so much flair draped around himself.
Oh my god,
those my lucky charms.
Let's see those will saves.
Is that worthy of a hero point, Joe?
No, I don't have a hero point.
Is that before the +8 you got from Mind Blank? Well, I guess not a full +8, +5.
Valbar got a 38.
How do I know what factors in?
You have a Cloak of Resistance?
Yeah.
What's the value of that?
+3.
All right. So you're getting a +5 net bonus from Mind Blank.
Okay. And I add that on top?
Yeah. So 5 on top of what you rolled.
Okay. All right, +4. It's 29. That's not that bad.
Okay.
Arginus got a 42.
Well, next to 42.
And a natural 20. So.
Yeah.
And a natural 20.
Yep.
And Uhtred got a 35.
All right. Well, I'm happy to say that you all passed because this was an effect that was replicating the spell Weird, which is effectively an AoE phantasmal killer.
Well,
so initial will save to disbelieve the illusion, followed by a fortitude save or die. Now, luckily, you all made your saves, but you fight off the mental attack left by this haunt. But the Radiant Fire, while not real in this exact moment, there still seems to be this quasi spiritual substance to it, and you all feel your chests get yanked backwards as your oballs, with their flipped frequencies, react to this surge of positive energy. And I'm going to need fortitude saves from everybody.
Did you say the surge of positive energy? You mean negative energy?
I mean the Radiant Fire contains both. And you know that your O-balls have had their frequencies flipped. Instead of absorbing negative energy, they amplify positive energy.
Ooh. Nat 20, that fort save for a 32.
I'm going to use a hero point, and I'm going to reroll it.
Nice. Do it.
I'm actually going to do the same.
Oh!
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh my god, both of you? No way.
Oh, you both went down with the hero point.
Monkey paws well spent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
There wasn't far to go either.
No.
No. So, Valbar and... So, Valbar and Thalias kind of brute force their themselves against this force that's, like, pushing you back in the direction that this wave of energy is going. Uhtred and Arginus, you each take 14 points of damage. And you are rocketed back 50 feet.
Oh
my god.
You guys can give me knowledge arcana or spellcraft checks.
That's a 21 knowledge arcana for Falvar.
33 spellcraft for Uhtred.
13 arcana.
And 24 arcana for old Thalias.
Alright. So, Arginus has no goddamn idea, but... the rest of you, you are aware that positive energy is 99.9% of the time pretty cool. It's very beneficial to living creatures, but you know that taking too much of it becomes harmful. Like if you guys were to travel to the positive energy plane, not factoring O-balls or anything into it, if you guys were to travel to the positive energy plane, you would, within a matter of, like, a minute or two, take in so much positive energy that your body would literally just erupt in flames and you'd explode.
That doesn't sound healthy.
No. You can think of positive energy in this sense as, like, radiation. So, you were told by Mariana that when she flipped your O-balls, it would stop absorbing negative energy and would start amplifying positive energy. And that this flip in polarity would kind of have a secondary effect if you were to be caught in the detonation of radiant fire, and it would rebound onto Tarbafan. And that's currently your trump card against him. This just now was just a haunt. This was just an echo. From a half mile away from the epicenter of a blast of radiant fire that happened days ago. Over a week ago. Mariana told you guys that if you went through with this, it would destroy you. Mind, body, and soul. And after that, like, it was just 5d6 damage. But then you got pushed 50 feet away. And this was from... like, so many different factors removed from the real thing. It's just kind of a reminder of the forces you'll be inviting should you follow through with your plans.
Yeah, it's almost like a haunting reminder, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you could definitely say that.
I also love how powerful things are that, like, you can't really... It's hard to mentally grasp them. You gotta, like, think about them like that. Like, yeah, this was from a couple days ago, and it's just the image of it. And you're like, and that hurt that much and sent me flying?
Jeez. It's just... Yeah, it's just the bad vibes left by the victims from over a week ago.
That's crazy.
But yeah. In the grand scheme of things, this one event, not all that deadly for you guys, and you're able to kind of brush yourselves off and return to your closing in on Hammerrock. Any final preparations to be taken before you make your final approach?
While everyone's dusting themselves off, I think I'd like to channel energy and just heal us all from that.
All right.
I mean, I didn't take any damage, but just generally speaking, it'd be nice if everyone wasn't... The last thing that happened to them wasn't taking damage.
Fair.
So it's 8d6 and then Obol max, so 48 healing for everybody.
Can we get overhealed?
No. Well, if he was channeling the Hierophant, actually, yes, you could be overhealed.
Damn it, Alex. Can't say Hierophant around this group.
What did we settle on the time? How much time had passed since we first entered the...
90 minutes.
Okay, Uhtred is going to expend another charge of Keen from his... he's going to expend the charge and put Keen back on Valo for another 50 minutes.
So he's using his scabbard?
Yeah.
For Keen? Alright. And that's 3 times per day,
yep.
I believe?
And this was the second use.
Alright. And then the last thing you do, you know that when you're within 100 feet of Hammerock, you need to recite 3 long, complicated passphrases to disable the wards that Hammerock may or may not have erected. No skill check required. You just do it. Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick, and your brain stops ticking. And so on and so forth in that fashion. But yeah, then there's nothing left to do but finally close in on Hammerock. You guys still with me?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just enwrapped.
All right. That's fine. I just want to make sure I have your attention for the single biggest map you have ever seen in anything we have done as a podcast.
What?
Oh boy.
Uh-oh. Whoa. Okay.
One square is 20 feet.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm maxed out on my...
zoomed all the way out.
Yeah, I can't see all of it.
We're starting at the bottom right corner.
Okay. That was gonna be my next question. Where are we starting from?
Just take a fucking look. 130 feet.
It gets us almost nowhere.
900 feet to the far corner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look how fucking tiny you are.
Oh my god.
It reminds me of that Mario stage from Super Mario 3 where you're in like big zone and then it's like regular Mario but you're fucking tiny.
Okay, so yeah, you guys are approaching Hammerock from the south and... you approach the outer eastern gate. The simple gatehouse includes several portcullises and heavy doors, plus numerous arrow loops and murder holes to harass intruders.
Does it really say murder holes?
Yeah, that was the technical term.
Yeah, it's like a grate in the ceiling that you could pour like boiling oil onto invaders from.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know those were called murder holes. That's great.
Yeah.
They're always opposite the industrial fan and chicken feathers.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got the boiling oil and then you look ridiculous because you were a chicken.
You gotta demoralize your invading forces.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you guys do? I'll just point out that this big box, if you follow the eastern gate, it kind of like... doubles back on itself before it truly enters the courtyard. There's like a big box with a T in it. That is to denote a trap, but that is from one of the wards that you guys deactivated, so don't even worry about it.
Sweet.
So yeah, tell me how you proceed.
This map is really freaking daunting.
Yeah, it's really throwing me off. But...
right? This was a monumental task just for me to figure out how to get this map in Roll 20.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Good lord.
I gotta pat myself on the back because as far as I can tell, I have it all lined up like pretty much perfectly.
Which is honestly a pretty big achievement because a lot of these Paizo maps, like the squares are not like perfectly square the whole way through. So it'll be lined up well on the left side of the map, but then it'll be off on the right side.
Yeah. So I'll give myself a Manny point for that one. But yeah, what do you guys do? You've got flight. You can just fly right over the walls if you want, or you can walk through the gates.
What are we expecting here? Can we get a refresh on the objective of this specific, at this point?
Our objective, as far as we know, is to try and figure out why Tarbaphon targeted Hammerrock. And to possibly find that halfling Quenlin, if he's still... If he's maybe still alive somewhere. Or find out what happened to him, if not.
It's just the size of this map makes me think that looking for stuff, you know, and potentially finding stuff is so much harder. Okay.
Well, you gotta start somewhere.
Can I make a prediction?
Go for it.
I wanna predict that this is gonna have a plot twist in here, that this is actually a giant illusion and we're just walking around in the open.
Ooh. Better fucking not be.
Well, since we're already flying, I feel like walking up the winding path just seems pointless.
Yes, let's not walk all of those squares.
I'm on board with just flying up and over, kind of into like the main courtyard, maybe like over. God, that's such a small ping.
I can't even see it. Okay, I see that.
Over in this general direction.
All right. Yeah, that sounds good.
So you guys fly up over the walls and then you touch down in the courtyard?
No, I think we should stay up in the air and kind of... This is so big, like...
Yeah.
Maybe just a minute to, like, look out and see, like, hey, there's not a giant thing that's going to murder us right over there.
Yeah, survey the place a bit.
That historically has not happened before. Big dungeons in this AP.
Yeah, where's the freaking bodyguard for Hammerrock?
I still think it's the dragon. That's why he came here. Natural 20 for 36 perception. What do my peepers peep?
Any other perceptions?
Yep, 43 from Valbar.
Okay, guys, calm down.
25 for our genius.
24 from Flies.
Okay. For those of you at home who can't see this map...
And for those of us in the podcast who can see part of it, because it's so goddamn big.
Yep. The group is currently floating above the courtyard of Hammerrock. They're in the southeast corner of the courtyard. This big mass right here in the central southern area of the courtyard, that seems to be like the castle that the courtyard is built around. You can guess that all of these other enclosed spaces on the outer ends of the courtyard are stables or blacksmiths or armories. There is a building in the northwest corner of the courtyard that pretty well looks like a chapel of some kind. And Valbar, with your 41,
43.
Would notice all... Well, excuse me. Would notice all the way, like, beyond the courtyard, like, northwest of the northwest gate, where... And you guys, when you, like, crossed the threshold over the wall of Hammerrock, you flew over what looks like it used to be a moat, but it would appear that like all of the water has been drained, or maybe it just like evaporated with the radiant fire. But there is a clear moat, very very obviously used to be a moat surrounding Hammerrock. Does not have water anymore. Valbar, you see on the northwest side, it looks like something came and manually filled in space in the moat to kind of create an ad hoc bridge. So there's a path that goes from the like north of Hammerrock towards the Path River to south, going to the northwest gate. Whether that was something creating a point of egress for something to leave Hammer Rock or for something to enter Hammer Rock. You're not sure, but it looks like if you squint really hard, maybe there used to be a drawbridge, so that was like an intended passing point, but the drawbridge has like kind of rotted away, so something or someone came and just filled that space in with just like earth and debris and whatever seemed to be at hand.
Just made their own crossing.
Yes. And finally, you look to the southwest. Kind of have to crane your head to peer up above, up over and past the castle that you are to the east of. There seems to be a large tall tower that seems to be... It has, like, very wide manufactured gaps in, like, the upper sections of the tower, perhaps as a form, like, perhaps meant to be, like, the entrance for some large flying creature.
Don't worry, those are never dangerous.
In fact, while you survey this very large area, Uhtred and Valbar would spot movement coming from inside that large tower to the southwest. It is possible that while you floated here surveying the area, you caught the attention of whatever is about to come out of this tower.
Well, now we can't blame Teoblith.
I know it can't be his fault, but it does. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I'm going to have everybody roll initiative as a large, huge, ghostly dragon emerges from the tower with a roar.
I'm going to use my initiative boost on this one, so that gets rid of my heightened awareness.
Valbar.
34.
Wow. Uhtred.
31.
Arginus.
14.
Thalias.
15.
It's quite the bridge. All right. That begins the surprise round. Valbar. There's quite a bit of distance separating you from the enemy right now.
Yeah.
Just whip them.
Just whip them.
My 400-foot-long whip.
A 400-foot-long whip is 100 feet too short.
Valbar is going to replace the trick in himself. So he had free in body. He's going to replace that with astounding avoidance. I see a dragon I want... Oh, wait. No. Not in myself. I have evasion because I have the ring. I'm going to give that to Thalias.
Sweet.
So Thalias has evasion that I can trigger for him.
And Uhtred.
Now, you said... It was the ghost of a dragon.
Is that a ghostly image of a dragon?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So it's not like necessarily what Nessie was.
Correct. If you would like to, you can make a knowledge religion check to identify it. This ghostly skeletal creature appears to once have been a dragon, but is now something far less noble.
36 for Uhtred.
43 for Valbar.
You guys got this. I'm not even going to bother.
Well, you might as well roll it just so that way you can ask a question.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you're right. 25. What did you get, Arginus?
16. Yeah, well, I gave you the question, so I'm going to take that as my win.
You'd have a zero without Arginus.
All right. Uhtred and Valbar. You identify this creature as a worm wraith. Worm wraiths arise from the souls of powerful dragons who refuse to accept death or have an irrational fear of moving on to an afterlife. Uhtred can ask three questions, and Valbar can ask 5 questions about a worm wraith.
Okay, but how many does Thalias get?
0.
Oh, okay. Or genus. Friggin' guy.
How about some DR?
You know that They do not have DR, but they are incorporeal. So, non-magical attacks deal no damage, magical attacks deal half damage, and only a ghost touch weapon can deal full damage.
Dude, we have a ghost punching spear. I forget what it does exactly, but I wrote it down. How exciting.
I'll take one cool offensive ability.
Sure, I'll tell you about their breath weapon. Every 1d4 rounds, a worm wraith can exhale a 60-foot cone of negative energy that deals 20d6 negative energy damage and also inflicts one negative level.
Oh my god.
Give me its movement speed.
They have a fly speed of 80 feet with perfect maneuverability.
Really? I have more movement than it on my steed?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, it's not riding a steed.
No, but it's a dragon also. Built in wings.
That makes this the slowest dragon we've come across.
Yeah, most dragons that are like even like adult in age, they usually have like a 200-foot fly speed.
Yeah, I thought that sounded off.
Yeah, like wow. Nessie had an outrageously high
fly speed. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think it, because it's incorporeal, it has the perfect fly speed, but it's just slower.
It's far less noble.
And far less mobile.
Oh!
Alright, so I get 5 now?
What, did Uhtred ask 3, or was that just 2?
I think so.
No, that was 3.
Yes,
DR, so we got that it's incorporeal. He asked about offensive ability, got the breath weapon, and then movement. I would like to know its energy defenses.
It gets no special protections from energy attacks.
Would it get anything from the base form? Yeah.
No. This is not a template adapted from a living dragon. This is a completely separate creature. You do know it has some special defensive ability related to positive energy, which I'll just tell you from asking about energy defenses, but knowing exactly what that does would be its own question. It's not just a static resist 20 or immune.
Right. What is its worst save?
Its worst save is fortitude.
I'd like to know a defensive ability.
Okay. I'll tell you about that positive energy transference. Whenever a worm wraith succeeds at a saving throw to resist positive energy damage but still suffers damage, the worm wraith can immediately transfer that damage to any dread wraith spawn of its choice within 120 feet that it controls. And you can know more about that with another question. Any damage in excess beyond the spawn's hit points it takes, even if the worm wraith has no spawn under its control, when it succeeds at its save against the positive energy effect that normally deals half damage on a successful save, it instead takes 1/4 damage.
Okay. Tell me about that dread wraith spawn.
Just casually.
Any humanoids slain by a worm wraith become dread wraiths in 1d4 rounds. Spawns are under the command of the worm wraith that created them and remain enslaved until its death, at which point they become free-willed dread wraiths. They don't possess any of the abilities they had in life.
Okay, and I get one more. I'm not even going to bother. I was going to ask how many HD it has, but I know it's going to be more than 16, so what the hell? I'm not going to bother asking that.
Ask if it can see invisibility.
Yeah, that's not... What kind of like senses does it have?
It has dark vision 60 feet and life sense. That life sense
is... Ask what life sense does.
You know that life sense is blind sight regarding living and undead creatures. Oh, just living creatures. Out to a range of 60 feet. You know, blind sight is a precision sense.
So, even though you are invisible...
Even with mind blank and invisible, it can still see you.
Well, it knows what square we're in, but it can't see us.
No, it can see you. Blind sense only knows the square. Blind sight can... It's basically echolocation, but it's not a divination effect.
Okay. So, this is It's called Life Sense, but it works like Blind Sight. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little confusing, but yeah, you got it.
Yeah, only a little.
All right. So, Uhtred, what are you going to do on your surprise round?
What am I going to do?
Honestly, if you guys wait, it wouldn't be horrible for me to give you haste.
Well, yeah, you can still, like, do a buff or something now.
I'm going to swift action, add the plus four to Valo with an Arcana point, and I am going to cast... Should have asked how this thing attacks.
I think I just kind of assume, you know, like a dragon, it's got two claws, two wings, a bite, and a tail.
Yeah, but it's a ghost. Would Life Sense negate the effect of Mirror Image?
Yes.
Not like the options here. It's not like the options here.
Pretty bad.
Alright, I guess I'm going to go with a casting of Stone Skin on myself.
That's probably a good call.
I have a feeling I might need that DR.
That'll cost you 250 gold worth of diamond dust and granite. Up next is the Wormwraith. It casts a spell on itself, which, even though you guys are ridiculously far away, I guess by the rules you can still automatically identify as protection from good. And then it's going to just dink, 5 foot step. And it will emit a mighty roar that calls across the courtyard in this haunting challenge, and that will begin the combat. Valbar
is going to float back 5 feet, and he's going to again replace the trick in Arginus with Astounding Avoidance.
Nice.
That is all I've got until the dragon gets closer.
All right, and Uhtred.
I want that haste, but...
You could always cast it.
Yeah, it's true. I could cast it.
Could always delay.
No, I think I like the idea of just casting it myself. So I'll cast haste on everybody. And then... I want to, like, kind of spread out so it can't just, like...
Could come over and blast us.
Fuck, this map is so big.
That's the real BBEG of this AP. Seriously. This map.
I have 100 movement speed with my mount. I assume my mount isn't affected by haste.
Correct. It's a spell effect.
Oh. But it doesn't work like a summon?
No, because it's a spell effect. Unless there's some forum FAQ that says otherwise. Like, I think you can't, like, you can't buff, like, a spiritual ally. Because it's a spell effect, not a summon.
Okay. No, that's fine. I wasn't sure if it was treated like a summon or if it was different. And yeah, it is conjuration creation, not summoning.
Okay. So I have 100 feet of movement. How tall is this building that's 45 feet to the south of us? Could I, in 100 feet, do you think I could fly up to, like, the top left corner of it?
Let's see, it says that Hammerrock's walls rise to a height of 30 feet and its towers stand 40 feet tall. I think it'd be silly if the buildings were taller than the wall, besides, like, the castle. So I would say that with 100 feet, like, where do you want to end up?
Kind of, like, in the air, slightly in front of the building at, like, its roof, like, height, like, level with the roof.
You guys aren't, like, at ground level. You were, like, flying, like, pretty high up to survey the courtyard.
Oh,
especially,
that's true.
Especially if you wanted to see over the castle. So, you could definitely...
That makes sense. Okay, so then I'm just going to stay at the same height that we're at and fly 50 feet on a diagonal heading southwest, just to kind of put a little space between us all now that we have haste.
All right.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to push that to like 70 feet. I forgot how big cone attacks They cover so much area.
Yeah, that was why I was kind of like trying to measure it out.
Yeah.
Where did we get haste from?
Future just cast it.
Shit, oh, okay. It's still not far enough.
I mean, you know that this thing's got a fly speed of 80 feet, so...
Yeah, we got a little time, but still.
It could still hit all of us with a cone. That's outrageous.
What's the cone attack?
It's breath weapon.
Yeah, what's the like actual damage type?
Negative energy.
Negative energy.
It's essentially the same as what Nessie's was.
Yeah, it's a little weaker than Nessie's, I think.
Yeah, it's Nessie had one more level. But otherwise, yeah. Alright, it is the Wormwraith's turn. 80 feet. Wow. Alright, I think it's just going to do like a run action. And yeah, it's just going to move four times its fly speed and just soar straight over the top of the castle and close much of the distance that was between you guys and it. And it ends its turn just 20 feet from Uhtred and about 70, 75 feet from the rest of you. Kind of kinny-quartered between Uhtred and the other three. And as it's closing the distance, it's just shouting,
"It was all for nothing. It was pointless. I will show you the meaning of pointless suffering."
And flies.
You know, I had a bunch of stuff that I wanted to do when he was 500 feet away. now that he's right here, it sort of trimmed the list down by quite a bit.
He's not even really right here. Look how far away he is from you. Like, 100 feet.
Yeah, but he was a lot farther before. So, I'm going to trim this list down to... I'm going to cast Spiritual Ally right on him, basically. So it's 100 feet plus 10 per level.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm going to cast Spiritual Ally behind him. Ugh, I got to zoom in so you can actually see where. Right here. And then that's a standard action. Do I get to attack with it immediately? Can't remember exactly how this works.
Yes, you do. It can make as many attacks as your base attack bonus allows.
So three.
Three? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But the second one's -5, third one's -10.
And do I just roll my...
It's your base attack bonus plus your charisma modifier.
Yep. So what's an easy way to do this? That I don't have to roll that manually.
Addition.
Every time. Do I have to?
The base attack bonus is 12 plus 6 is 18. So d20 plus 18.
Okay. I guess I'll just do that then. 28.
28 will not hit.
Remember, I ignore things in the Spiritual Ally, like DR, and I can hit corporeal creatures. So if there's anything you got up your sleeve.
Well.
Just checking.
No.
Just looking for bonuses. I shall attack again.
Okay.
This time for sure. 26.
That will also miss.
Okay. Now I do want to move. So I still have my move action, right? He's just attacking on his own here.
You also have a third attack, yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a nat 20.
Oh, shit, it is.
Oh my god.
No one saw that coming.
Roll to confirm.
All right. Oh, something tells me, because this is
-10.
10.
So it doesn't confirm, okay. But it does hit.
But it does hit, look at me.
And as a force effect, it does full damage to an incorporeal creature.
Yes, that's what I was banking on.
So I believe it's 1d10 plus, I'm going to say 6.
5. It's 5.
5? Ah, I was close.
Yeah, you're close. 13 damage, let's go me.
Nice.
And now I'm going to run for the hills. So I'm hasted with fly. How far can I get away from this thing?
90 feet.
90 feet. Oh, that's not getting me very far, huh? How far can I go if I go directly up?
Half.
Oh, that's not very far either. Jeez. All right, well, let's try it. 20, 40, 50?
How are you moving?
I just trying
move
to move
20
diagonal.
Oh, okay.
Just well, if you kept trying move, to, yeah.
If you're trying to move 50 feet diagonally, there you go.
All right, cool. Let's go there.
All Yeah, we're gonna. It takes a village to move in this map, so we're just gonna help each other out.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, our genus.
All right, our genus. Well, actually, now that we're all splitting up now, was gonna cast Fickle Winds. He is going to. You know what? Let's do Disintegrate, and I'm gonna do my cards.
Oh, okay.
And you know it's also got, I have that extra 25% bonus, baby, because of my ectoplasm background.
Yeah, so instead of half damage to an incorporeal creature, you're dealing 75% damage. Now, just bear in mind, it is in melee because of Thalias' spiritual ally.
Well, he's in the back.
It's still in melee.
The melee isn't... I mean, it's undefined what the penalty exactly is coming from. You could sometimes say you're trying to avoid hitting an ally, but you could also say it's just like the constant juking and shuffling that being in melee with somebody brings.
The unpredictable movement of being in a fight that you're not a part of.
Just roll a nat 20, Tom. It's so easy.
Yeah. Let me just fucking do that. Alright, so rolling ranged touch attack. Oh, 30 to hit. But
four.
Hold up, cards. the key.
I'm even gonna use my cards.
Yeah.
30 to hit. Oh.
Now
wait.
Let me stop you right there because a 30 does not hit its touch AC.
Whoa.
So it doesn't matter what cards are gonna be.
Oh no.
Anything with your move action, Arginus?
I'm gonna fucking skedaddle.
Wait, aren't there cards that can increase your attack roll?
No. I was just looking at it. Increases caster level, gives Arginus a bonus on reflex saves and AC. Heals Arginus, increases the DC of the spell, or increases the damage, or a +1 to overcome spell resistance.
Okay. Yeah, that really sucks.
I want to move 60 feet north.
All right. Valbar.
Valbar is going to fly 70 feet. Yeah. He's going to fly 70 feet kind of west-northwest to put himself north of the dragon.
Okay.
And 30 feet away so that he can hit it with the hypnotic stare.
Okay.
Which gives it the -3 to will saves, attack, damage, reflex saves, spell DCs, and spell resistance. He's going to pull out his whip as he moves. And why the hell not? I'm going to cast glitter dust on the big fucker.
Sweet. You know what you should have done is use that ability that you used on that other guy. So that we could walk up and just win.
I was thinking about that, but I only have one more 6th level spell, and I want to use that on a crowd if I can.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I want to use that on a challenge.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I was going to say something worth it.
Yeah, it is like a... It's like haste targeting,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one target is fine, but definitely better for crowds.
Yeah.
All right, so he's now shimmering, I guess?
Yep, and has to make a fort save or be blind. Not that it matters because he has blind sense, but...
Right. Sure, why
it's
not?
It's the principle of the matter.
Exactly.
Man, that's such a dickish way to blind someone, too. Like, throwing glitter on someone is already, but like to... Throw it in their eyes?
Yeah.
No. 27.
Okay. Fort. Yeah, no. He's not blinded.
Unless, does minus your three. Stare... -3, so 24.
No, the fort save is the one thing my stare does not affect.
All right. It is now Uhtred's turn.
Can I retcon when I added the +4 to Valo? I should have spent another Arcana point and added Bane.
Sure.
What kind of Bane?
Bane
undead.
Is he undead or phantom? What is the appropriate thing to Bane him?
You know this is an undead creature.
Alright, Bane undead. And then Uhtred is going to cast a Frostbite. Can they take non-lethal damage?
No.
No. Alright, let's cast Chill Touch. And then Uhtred's going to move up 15 feet and deliver it through the scimitar.
You're going to provoke in your movement.
And I'll use an Arcana point to increase my AC.
Unfortunately, its attack is going to be an incorporeal touch attack, so your shield bonus will not apply as it lunges out for a bite. It's going to be a 31 versus your touch AC.
That'll hit.
All right, you're going to take 11 points of damage plus 2 negative levels.
What?
No save on those negative levels?
Nope, it is energy drain, so it automatically happens, and you get a fortitude save 24 hours from now to prevent, to get rid of it, or it becomes a permanent negative level.
Well, that's stupid.
Oh my god. If this thing gets, like, all of its attacks, and they all come with negative levels, it could stack, like, at least 10 negative levels with one full attack action.
Oh, that'd be pretty fucking bad, wouldn't it?
I don't like your tone.
I'm waiting with bells on for Uhtred's, Uhtred's attack.
So, this is a 43 on a crit threat.
That'll threaten.
And a 41 to confirm.
That'll confirm.
Nice.
I'm gonna add decapitate.
Can you decapitate an incorporeal creature?
I'll allow it.
Although I suppose the spell just adds damage to it. The actual decapitation effect only happens if it kills it.
So decapitate. Oh, hold on a second. I believe incorporeal creatures are immune to crits unless it's from a ghost touch weapon.
Not from Uhtred, though.
Oh, because
you're right.
He's got his feet.
From your devout dedication to Sarenrae. Wasn't there something to decapitate where, like, undead creatures were only partially affected?
Because they don't have to roll fortitude saves, so we were just doing the damage. And
that's right.
Yeah, so basically it can't increase the crit multiplier, but it can do the extra damage.
Right. All right, well, you guys know what to do then. And also, I guess we need a crit card.
Okay, crit card. Slashing damage is an ugly wound. It's normal damage and 1d3 charisma damage and 1 charisma drain.
And you should know that as undead, charisma damage is as good as con damage.
Yes. And a fort save would negate the drain, but not the damage.
Although, I believe undead are immune to ability damage. I know they're immune to ability drain. Give me one second.
I think they might just be immune to, like, physical ability damage.
Undead are not subject to ability drain, are immune to damage or penalties to their physical ability scores. So they can take mental ability damage, but not any ability drain.
Okay, so this would be normal damage and 1d3 charisma damage. Or the magic crit is called side effect, which is double damage and you become invisible for 1d4 rounds.
Ooh, take that one.
It was normal damage on the slashing?
Yes, normal damage and 1d3 charisma damage.
And you said charisma is as good as constitution against undead?
Yes. Yes, their hit points are calculated off of charisma because they don't have a constitution score.
Yes, it's their force of personality that powers them.
Well, then we have to go with that one.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a chance of doing, like, 20 damage if you get a 2 or higher.
Yep.
So let's talk about damage before we do the charisma damage. How much damage did Uhtred deal to it?
He did 18 slashing damage because he gets a plus 2 from Bane.
Yep.
Yes.
And then he gets a d6 from Bane?
2d6 from Bane, and then 1d6 from fire, and 1d10 from fire.
Yep. And then I owe you a 1d3 rounds
1d3 charisma damage.
How much extra damage did Bane and the fire give you?
The extra Bane was only 3 damage.
Okay.
The chill touch was 2 damage. Although I think it might not do damage. I think it's 1 strength damage and you have to roll or run from me.
It's just the runaway, I think.
Mm-hmm. What about the fire damage from the crit?
That looks like 12 fire damage.
Okay. And how about decapitate?
That's 14.
All right. Now let's do charisma damage.
Okay, I'm gonna roll a d4 and a 4 is a reroll. 2.
All right.
That's all we needed.
All right. Now I owe you a will save.
Yes.
That's 37.
Oh, yeah. Even with the -3, you made it by a mile.
All right. Pretty good crit, but now it is the Wormwraith's turn. It rears its head back in a roar of pain from Uhtred's Sarenrae-charged slash.
And it takes all that damage, too. It's not, like, half.
And it didn't appreciate that. It's going to full attack on Uhtred.
All right, Uhtred, don't worry. I'll take really good care with your grave.
I am going to use an immediate action for Aether Step.
Okay.
That's probably a good call.
Can incorporeal creatures hit ethereal creatures?
Well, I'm go to the ethereal realm. So the question is...
Right. I mean, that's what being ethereal means. You are in the ethereal plane and some bleed over, depending on what the effect is. Like, you can still be affected by force damage, force effects. An ethereal creature is invisible, insubstantial, and capable of moving in any direction, even up or down, albeit at half normal speed. An ethereal creature can move through solid objects, including living creatures. An ethereal creature can see and hear on the material plane, but everything looks gray and ephemeral. Sight and hearing onto the material plane are limited to 60 feet. Force effects and abjurations affect an ethereal creature normally. Their effects extend onto the ethereal plane from the material plane, but not vice versa. An ethereal creature can't attack material creatures, and spells you cast while ethereal affect only other ethereal things. Certain material creatures or objects have attacks or effects that work on the ethereal plane. It's not saying that they do. So, I'm thinking that you are safe.
That's good that going to a different plane makes them safe from the fucking way.
But only barely.
Yep, only just.
Alright, so yeah, that will effectively kill his full attack. But yeah, he's still got some rage in his eyes, and he turns around and looks at the only other person to really hit him, at Valbar, and he's going to cast...
Quick question, sorry. If he full attacks, does he not commit to that attack?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah.
You can full attack, and then the dude can
disappear. Does he have the reach?
I'll tell you one thing. I've committed to the sentence I'm about to say, so... If we get to the end, we might just learn something, because he's going to cast a quickened spell as a swift action, and Valbar needs to save against his finger of death.
People really don't like Matt's character.
I mean, look, Uhtred was the subject of my ire.
Yeah, don't try and turn this on me. He could have just said, "Oh man, I lost a turn."
What kind of save are we looking at for this?
Okay. Finger of death.
Yeah, Alex, that, real quick, that sentence, you're determined to finish. The ending sucked. I don't like it.
Finger of death is fortitude.
Okay. I'm going to hero point this.
Yep.
Fuck. And I lowered it by 3, but that natural 1 is going to not make any difference.
My God.
You got to be fucking kidding me. So, the Wormwraith that used to be the dragon Temiazrael snaps its jaws at Uhtred, who vanishes into the ethereal plane at the last second. And with a snarl, he turns around and He, like, clicks his fangs at Valbar, casting the spell, who fails. And Valbar takes 240 points of damage.
Oh my god. So I'm at negative 139.
That'll buff out, maybe?
God fucking damn it. Are you shitting me right now?
You know, if we had someone that could cast, like, Breath of Life or something.
If only there was some Hierophant.
That's what I keep hearing. The crowd's demanding it.
If you guys give me a day, I can fix this.
I don't know if you can fix this.
Well, a day is... tomorrow's a day away, but Thalias's turn is right now, so... yeah, Valbar falls to the ground in a heap. Like, I imagine you guys are, like, 50 feet up right now, and just, like, leaving a trail of, like, probably just, like, partially disintegrated, like, skin as, like, almost like dust trail. Valbar flops to the ground. Man, why are you doing that to yourself?
It's one of those, like,
natural 20,
if I had saved it to re-roll, maybe I would have lived.
This is the second character in a row you've lost to a natural one on a essentially save or die spell.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm aware.
It's almost like somebody keeps on putting him in that position. Alex.
Fuck you, Alex. Finger of Alex. Death is close range. I couldn't have hit anybody else with it. And it's... he's got it. Why wouldn't he use it?
Alex. It just feels right to say. Not good, not good. So, does anyone have any details on... I wrote down the item, but not what it does. The ghost spear? Ghost damaging?
Oh, the one that we found... didn't we find that in Tumbaha Mountain?
I think so.
Oh.
I thought we sold that.
If you sold it, I still have it in my backpack, so...
I think it was the weapon of the ghost that we freed from the mirrors, like, when he was alive.
It was. I'm looking it up now.
I've been wanting to hit a ghost with a spear for a very long time, so hopefully, one, we didn't sell it, and two, it's good against this guy.
It's a +2 ghost touch holy short spear. I had it in my notes from book 5. I just had to pull them back up.
So it is a exceedingly good weapon against ghosts.
Okay, perfect. So I want to use it, but it's in my backpack, and...
I mean, it's a spear reaction? That you kept in your backpack?
Yeah, sticking out.
You could have fastened it, like, the spear equivalent of sheath it, like, at your side or along your back or something. Especially if Thalias has been like...
Okay, whatever makes sense. I don't know where you want it.
I'm trying to help you. So it's like, you can draw it as part of a move.
Okay. And I also want to charge.
Yep.
But I don't know that I can do that and have it.
Yeah, you could, because you can draw your weapon as part of a move, and charging is moving.
All right, we're doing it. We're fucking sending it with the ghost spear. Thalias charges in. Ghost spear in hand. Kind of like, jousting? Kind of tucks it underneath and just... And I'm gonna champion charge attack.
Alright.
Yeah. Do I need to add or subtract anything?
+2 from charging.
Okay, perfect. 41 to hit.
That'll hit.
You're gonna have to reroll the damage.
Okay. Let me roll my spiritual ally first, because I've got that control V'd. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. 36 to hit for old spiritual Thalias.
Oh, 36 will hit.
Yes. And that'll do 8 damage.
Okay.
His second attack will definitely not hit. I'll spare you the number. It's embarrassing. Oh, and the last one. Oh, but it's -10. 26 to hit.
Yeah, it misses.
Okay. Now for the good stuff. Where did I leave off on? Oh, I got to reroll the damage.
Yep. It's a d8 plus 14.
18 plus 12, 30 plus 3 acid. Yes.
Plus plus another 2d6 of holy damage.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, I should have had Tom roll him. Plus 6 holy damage.
All right. So that was one hit, right?
Yep. And then I don't get the champion attack, and obviously that's the highest roll. But I do get the haste attack for 43 to hit.
43 hits.
For 30 damage plus 5 holy.
Okay.
And then my second attack is a 41 to hit.
That'll hit.
And that'll hit for 33 damage plus 8 holy. Ooh.
Okay.
Way to go, ghost punching spear. That's awesome. And my last attack misses with a 22 or 24.
Okay.
I love attacking with Elias, especially with Spiritual Ally. Not so accurate, but like, I just rolled a billion dice.
Yeah. Okay, and next up is Arginus.
Arginus will... You know what? Fuck it. He's gonna cast Firebrand.
Alright.
And it should be on those, should be on these two. I think... Can the Spiritual Ally get that?
No.
No. It's just a spell.
For the same reason. Yeah. Same reason the steed couldn't get haste.
Got it. And Arginus is going to move back a little bit. He really wants to make sure that he is not...
If there's any more fingers going out, he doesn't catch a stray.
Yeah.
Yes, be all by yourself for when more things come out of these buildings. You are up in the air, though, so I guess that helps.
Probably fine. Everyone give me perception checks, though.
Did you say everybody?
Yeah.
Well, everybody is alive.
Yeah.
25.
We're really preoccupied with this fucking dragon in front of us.
Yeah.
And the guy with the high perception check is unable to.
Yeah.
And our fucking gnome friend just got fried, like...
Yeah, that thing that Matt just said.
Yeah. Nick was just piling on.
You guys haven't said a false statement so far. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. That will bring us back to Uhtred. You reappear on the material plane with, I believe, a move action.
Yeah. You can do like a... like total defense, like you turtle up or like just kind of like cover up. Is that a full?
That costs a standard action, I believe, if not a full round action.
Does it cost a standard action to activate the brand that Arginus just put on me?
It's a swift action to use the beam attack.
I think I might just use the swift action. Wait, hold on. Yep. I'll use the swift action. No, I can't. I don't have a swift action. Because I used an immediate action to get Aether Step off. Okay. It doesn't really make... How mad is he at me still? I mean, Thalias really did just kind of... He's probably forgotten all about little me.
Does my answer matter?
I love this game.
I want to run away, but now I'm terrified that our healer is going to get clobbered. Alright, mechanically it's not going to do anything, but Uchu's just going to kind of like cross his forearms in front of him and like tent up his body, anticipating a bunch of incoming attacks.
Yep. Alright, well, he didn't like that Serenray crit that you gave him. But then Thalias gave him something else to be pissed about.
Yeah, but the Spiritual Ally really did the most of the damage, if you think about it.
And the Wormwraith Temiazrael turns to Thalias and goes through a transformation. And as if cords of muscle were... coming into being and like wrapping themselves around this incorporeal dragon and giving him a physical form. He seems to be wrapped in this ectoplasmic shell and is no longer incorporeal. And you think maybe physically, much more powerful than he was as a mere ghost. And he's going to full attack on Thalias next week.
No, Alex, no. You killed Matt already. You
on the Inspired Incompetence podcast.
Hey, Nick, I'm no. cool with running away. If,
no. See ya.
See ya.
They're going to be using Speak Dead on us next week.